You know, in thinking about a lot of stories we report here almost daily on The Takeaway, it occurred to us that really a characteristic of the 21st century is becoming more vigilant, all of us, civically and economically, about the fine print in our lives. What are we spending? What are we really using? How are we really holding our institutions accountable?
What are we voting on?
Indeed, it's all in the fine print. And we begin our series, Life in the Fine Print, with Elizabeth Warren, who's the chairman of the Congressional Oversight Panel. It's the group that oversees the TARP, or Troubled Asset Relief Program. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning.
You know, part of your mission as overseeing the TARP program is really all about making sure that the fine print in this complicated relationship between the federal government and the banks is actually, is actually overseen, that there's a way of actually overseeing it. You've had to look at a lot of fine print over the last year.
That's right. It's about making it visible, because if it's not visible, we can't know what's really happening.
And do you think this is a good sort of idea here, the notion that all of us are going to have to really look at the fine print in our own lives, whether it's, as Celeste says, to figure out what we're voting for or to figure out what we're paying our own bank in fees, et cetera, that this is all a kind of redefinition of what it means to be a consumer in America?
Well, you know, I actually think it's really outrageous that this is what's required. Let's take the example of your credit card. A credit card agreement, all the papers they sent you in order to have a credit card back in 1980 was about 700 words. That's a little over a page.
Wow.
Today, most people say they've done the counting, the experts who've analyzed it, and they say a credit card agreement runs more than 30 pages. Now, they didn't add the additional 29 pages to make your life better. They added the 29 pages. I want to be clear here. Part of it, because some of it was statutorily required, you know, disclose this or tell people that. But most of it is in there in order to be able to hide a lot of tricks and traps. The idea of the fine print is not to help the customer. The idea of the fine print is to be able to hide things that will fool people. And in fact, let me give you a great example of this.
Sure.
I wanted to check on my own credit card how much my interest rate was. My credit card agreement, when it says interest, right, had a little bold thing that said interest, little tiny print, 47 lines that included words like LIBOR and points above prime and, you know, goes through all this. And then the very last line says, notwithstanding the foregoing, the company reserves the right to charge any amount at any time for any reason.
For heaven's sakes.
Wow.
Elizabeth Warren, chairman of the Congressional Oversight Panel, which oversees the TARP, the Troubled Asset Relief Program. The assumption in all this fine print, it seems, Elizabeth, is that the banks are betting, the institutions, the companies, energy companies, et cetera, even the government is betting that Americans are really too passive to pay much attention to the fine print and that the money will just float their way. Is that a good assumption or a bad assumption?
I think that's a good assumption. Indeed, I'm going to say it slightly differently, too, in the case with consumers. They also assume that means you can't make any comparisons. So if you can't see which credit card is actually cheaper, or which credit card has fewer risks or fewer penalties associated with it, then you'll be just as likely to pick the one that's more expensive or the one that has more tricks or, more to the point, the one that has a multi-million-dollar advertising campaign and offers double frequent flyer miles.
And, you know, your career prior to being the chairwoman of the Congressional Oversight Panel was writing books and teaching students with the mission of empowering them to understand how these things work, to not be fooled. Do you think that's a doable task in this environment where, you know, you got 30 pages on a credit card agreement?
No, I actually think that it has gotten so out of hand in the case of consumer credit agreements that it simply is not doable. It's been a few years now that I gave a credit card agreement to one of my classes. Now, these were all third-year law students at Harvard. They'd all had contract law. They'd all had a course in commercial law. And I asked them to determine just we were just having a back and forth conversation. We made a photocopy of the same thing. I said, work together and tell me what the interest rate is on this credit card and how you get your 3% cash back. And working together, it took them more than 45 minutes, and they still came up with two answers and weren't sure which one was correct.
All right, so what is the...
American families can't do that.
Exactly. So what is the... I mean, you've had a year now looking at the TARP. You've had an entire career looking at these complicated agreements that we're all sort of hamstrung with. What is the legislative takeaway here? Yes, we have to become more vigilant as Americans, but legislatively, things have to become more simple.
I think that's exactly right. So, for example, on consumer credit, the bill that just got out of the House is for a consumer agency that, and this is the first time we would have an agency like this, that says credit agreements, instead of having all these rules, you can't do this, you must charge that, you can't charge this, instead, what the real thrust of this agency is about is to say, you've got to be able to say it in two words. Two pages. People have to be able to read it in 4 minutes with 95% understanding of what's going on. You know, the American Enterprise Institute has written a two-page mortgage. They've written a two-page check overdraft agreement. There's been another outfit that's written a one-page credit card. It's possible, if you want your customer to know what you're getting, to do that. And this agency is there to say, look, we've got to go back to a market where people can read it. Then they can make comparisons and they can make smart decisions for themselves.
You know, one of the things that you have talked about is the fragility of the middle class. Does these fine print things in our salaries, in our mortgages, and in our credit cards hurt the middle class?
You bet. It's like a hole in the bottom of your boat. They just keep losing not just a little bit of money. They keep losing cumulatively more than tens of billions of dollars every single year on the fine print. It's floating out the bottom there.
And if you're getting 120,
no one ever sees it.
If you're getting a $120 million bank bonus, you can afford to lose a couple million, but the middle class doesn't have that luxury. Elizabeth Warren, before we go, you want to be the head of the Consumer Protection Agency?
I just want to see that agency get into law. That's what I really care
about.
And
you want to be the head of it, right?
Nah, I want to see it become the law. That's what I really care about.
Trying to make news here on The Takeaway. Elizabeth Warren, chairman of the Congressional Oversight Panel, the group that oversees the TARP, beginning our fine print series here on The Takeaway. Thanks so much.
And we're asking you to let us know how you've taken notice of the fine print. 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytakeofthetakeaway.org. I'm Celeste Headley.
Got your own take? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You know how to reach us. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.